who will be standing up here Sunday after Sunday, sharing the Word of God with the members of CCC. Let me rearrange this a little bit so I can see everybody on the right-hand side, if I can do that. Yeah, that's great. We'll do that. Move this up a little bit. I was thinking about, should I start with a joke about the misunderstanding between men and women, such as the man who wanted he had three wishes from God, and you probably heard this one about building a bridge from Australia to Thailand, or understanding his wife. And so he prayed to God and said, I'd like to try and understand my wife. Or the second choice would build a bridge so I can travel easily between my work in Australia and Thailand. And God said, when do you want me to start the bridge from Thailand to Australia? But anyway, it's more important to share a little story about my wife instead. When I first met my wife, she had a piggy bank, and she was saving money to go to Israel. And that was about 28 years ago. Well, we started dating and got married, started a family, and all that money was in the piggy bank, ended up going towards our family. But the long-suffering, patient wife that she is, she just kept that kind of in her heart. So next week, I will not be here. My wife and I are going to go to Israel. And so for all of you women who have been waiting patiently for your husbands to provide the desires of your heart, please continue to be patient. God is not finished with your husbands yet. Okay. This morning we're going to dive into the deep end of what Ephesians has been teaching us. How do we live out our faith in the four most important relationships that we have on this earth? Marriage, church, family, and work. For people here who are single, unmarried, widowed, divorced, or unmarried by choice, we want CCC, this church, to be a place where you can feel loved, where you can have important relationships, where you can find supportive and loving community for you in your singleness. We want the members of CCC to feel like this is a home for them and a place where they can both be loved, love, and serve. But today we're going to focus our attention on marriage, upon husbands and wives, upon children, and upon working relationships. Pastor Greer did a good job explaining some of the challenges about fulfilling these relationships, some of the issues, but I am going to go a bit different from that. I'm going to talk about the solutions that God has provided for us so that we might actually have successful relationships among husbands and wives, children, and in the workplace. The letter to Ephesians was written about 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was written to a young church. As you might expect, there were lots of people coming into the church. There were married people, single people, families with children, and there were slave owners and slaves. You would think that in a growing church like that the Apostle Paul would think there were many more important issues to talk about than the relationships which are so fundamental to living in this world. But he didn't. He said, we're going to talk about how the rubber meets the road. How do we live as Christians in this world in the relationships that God has established for us? And how do we do that with success? So for us, we will learn from the Apostle Paul today from the book of Ephesians about these relationships and how to make them work. Paul the Apostle was a father in the faith, and he was also unmarried. And yet he really understood, both from practice and from the Word of God, how important these relationships are to our growth as Christians in this world. Warren Buffett, one of the richest men in the world, not a believer, said the best decision he ever made in his life was the woman he chose to marry. Many other people who have been successful in life have said that the spouse that they chose to marry was the most important decision they make. Make the right choice, treat them well, nurture the relationship, and you'll have a good life. Make a bad choice or a good choice and act badly about that choice, and you'll have nothing but problems in your life. So this is why the Apostle Paul explains to us how we can have success in these relationships is so important to us. The main words in these passages about husbands and wives, children, and employees and employers is submission, love, authority, respect, obedience, and charity. Maybe you know I went to seminary. I studied biblical Greek in seminary for 3 years. I can read a bit of Greek. So I'm going to tell you what these words actually mean out of the Greek language. They mean love, authority, respect, obedience, and charity. No mystery here. They mean the most simple meaning that we can provide for them. In verse 21 that we finished up with last week, the word there, which can be translated submit or respect, is a different word than we find in verse 22. In verse 21, it talks about relationships among all of us and our interpersonal relationships in the church. Therefore, we should act respectful towards one another. That means that sometimes we don't say the things which are on our heart. Sometimes we lend a helping hand. Sometimes we actually encourage one another. This is the word respect in verse 21. But in verse 22, it's very specifically related to the relationship of marriage. And the word is submit or submission. A challenge, huh? So how do we do that in this world? Well, the Apostle Paul decided to go back to the book of Genesis to look about how that was established. Genesis 1 and 2 tells us how the world and human beings were made. He created us, male and female, as two halves of a whole. We are not created separately. As we say in Thai, doa krai doa man, every person for their own self. But God did not make us like that. He made us as two parts of a whole. First he made the man, and then he made the woman. They were totally exposed to each other in every way, and they were not ashamed. Adam and Eve went and disobeyed God, and therefore we call that sin. And from sin, they began to have problems in their relationship, problems in giving birth to children, problems in tilling the land. Then when they started their family, guess what their children did? Their children also went and sinned, and they began to have problems. And so God's perfect plan for husbands and wives and families, that there would be one man, one woman for a lifetime, and with children who would obey them, began to experience all kinds of problems and issues. The trust was broken, relationships soured, and family after family, event after event, through the book of the Old Testament up until the time of Jesus, was failure after failure. Instead of the marriage of one man and one woman for a lifetime, the men began to have many wives. And as a result of the many wives, their troubles multiplied. But Jesus comes along and reconciles us. He turns this sin, he turns this failure of Adam and Eve on its head. Or if we could say that, he turned it right side up. Both men and women were now to become members of the body of Christ. We were to be the new creation in Christ for which he made us. He was taking the things that mankind had done to turn everything of God's plan and making it sour. He turned it into a blessing, the blessing through Jesus Christ. We became the body of Christ. We became the new creation in Christ. And it is through this new creation in Christ that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians that he also comes to Ephesians to talk about marriage, children, work, and the church. Paul takes us back to Genesis. Why would he do that? That's an old book. That's a long time ago. Because he said this is where we find the purpose and the plans of God for these relationships as he purposed and planned it for us. If you're married, if you're engaged, if you're in a committed relationship with the person right next to you, as we see many of the couples here, the person sitting next to you, if they have accepted Christ, if they have believed, if they commit themselves to Christ, they are the new creation in Christ. They are that person that God has made new, and he has provided everything for them to be the kind of person that God wants them to be. They are first and foremost not our spouse. They are first and foremost a new creation, a new creature in Christ. And from this place, from this new creation in Christ, from this finished work of God, this is where we begin the discussion of the kind of relationships we want to have. They're talked about in the book of Ephesians. From this point and from this place, the woman is able to submit to her husband as unto the Lord. Not based upon the perfection of her husband, but based upon who she is in Jesus Christ. The new creation, the old has passed away. And behold, all things have become new. In this way, when she submits to her husband according to God's word, she then becomes a partner with God in building her family and helping her husband to become the leader that she wants him to be and what the word of God calls him to be. A partnership. A new person in Christ, being a co-laborer with Christ in helping to build your own family, in helping your husband to become the kind of man that God wants him to be. This is what God wants from a family and from a woman according to the word of God. This is what he has provided for us so that women are able to submit themselves to their husband's leadership as head of the household for the purpose of both honoring God and building the kind of family and the kind of relationship with her husband that she desires also according to the word of God. This call, and I think it's easy to call it like this, it's a call of God upon the life of the woman in marriage. This is a call that occurs three times. When the word of God says something one time, we should listen. Two times, we should really have our ears perk up. Three times, all we can say is, yes, Lord. I submit myself to you to do that which you've called me to do. But it's not a special word only for women. The word submit or subjection occurs 11 times, at least 11 times in the New Testament and encompasses all of the relationships between God and his people and also in this world. It occurs when Jesus said, I subject myself to the Father. I submit my will to the Father's will. Not my will, but your will be done. The demons were subject to the disciples. They had to submit to the authority of the disciples when they commanded them. The Apostle Paul says that we're supposed to submit ourselves to governing authorities. Christians are to subject themselves to God and his word and his will. In every case where God calls us to submit ourselves or to subject ourselves, it is for the benefit of ourselves. Only good things happen when we listen to God's word and we obey God's word. There are other considerations. Submission is the willing act of the woman. It cannot be demanded by her husband. Ladies, if you don't want to submit, we cannot make you. And the word of God never asks us to tell you, wife, submit. No. It's a willing decision on your part in obedience to Christ. Submission by the wife is in the context of only to her husband. It's not to all males in leadership or in the world. It's very specific, with a very specific purpose and plan that you submit to your husbands. Beyond that, My pages are sticking together. Submission for the wife is not to abdicate her own responsibilities, to use her gifts, her talents, her abilities and skills to support the family and to become all that God has planned for her as well. It is not giving your husband all the responsibility for your life. It is your conscious decision to submit to your husband while at the same time maintaining your relationship and your purposes and plans before the Lord to be the kind of woman that he wants you to be. So, women, biblical submission benefits both you, your family, and your husband. What about the husbands? Wake up, wake up. We're going to talk about you now. Daniel. Okay, husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. This exhortation also occurs three times. And this is something I really want us to try and understand. The underlying principle of loving your wife as Christ loved the church is because human love can change. Human love often depends upon how the other person looks, how they act, and how they respond to us. And that is how we love them. That's called human love. That's why the pastor talked about, we get married after 2 years and say, why were you hiding those things from me? And our husband or wife says, I've been this way all along. Why didn't you see it? At that point, we either switch on God's kind of love or we have a relationship that goes up and down depending upon how the other person acts. Human love, for the most part, is contingent on the other person and their behavior. But, and even human love can turn to hate. This is the weakness of loving somebody with human love. For the husband to love his wife as Christ loved the church, we must know from where this God kind of love comes from. The God kind of love comes from the package that we receive when we accept Christ. We receive God. We receive salvation. We receive the forgiveness of sin. We receive the new life in Christ. And we also receive the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, according to Romans 5:5, says, the love of God is poured into our heart. Not dropped with a dropper, poured into our hearts by the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. 1 Corinthians 13:4-10 says, love is patient. This is the agape kind of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy, boast. Remember the faults of other people. Not self-seeking. Rejoices in the truth. Protects. Trusts. Always perseveres. This is the God kind of love. Husbands, if you try and love your wife with human love, it can change. If you love your wife with the God kind of love, the kind of love which is born out of a relationship with Christ, you'll be able to love your wife for a lifetime. How can we present our wives as holy, blameless to the Lord? By loving them with the love, with a God kind of love. There are other kinds of love. You survey women, they say, we want the love of friendship. We want to be able to be, we want to marry our best friend. Well, you marry your best friend, that's great. But if your best friend doesn't love you, and he's your husband, he doesn't love you with the God kind of love, pretty soon that friendship can kind of weaken. We want to have affection. We want to have passion in our marriage, in our relationship. You want to have passion in your marriage? Love your wife with the God kind of love. That opens a river of feelings towards you that results in great relationships. Wives, how is the willing submission to your husband going? Is your husband looking more like Jesus and loving you more like Jesus as he loves the church? Husbands, how is loving your wives like Jesus loved the church going? Is your wife becoming more radiant with the holiness and fulfilling the purposes of God in her life? These are the kind of questions we need to ask. If we are finding there's a gap, we need to think about how am I submitting, supporting my husband as leader of our home. If we find our wives being a little bit distant, little bit tense about the relationship, we say, are we really loving her like Christ loved the church with the God kind of love? Next section, children, obey your parents. I'd just like to take a few minutes to talk to children. I see a few children around here. If you're a parent, you can listen in. I kind of want to talk to children for a minute. Chapter 6, verse 1, some translations say, you children belong to the Lord. Therefore, obey your parents. I like this translation because I think it really captures what the Apostle Paul wants to say about the relationships of children with their parents in terms of obedience. I see lots of young people around here. I'm very happy about this. A long time ago, I was a child, a young man. I belonged to the Lord. I didn't grow up in a Christian family. I wasn't a Christian, but I belonged to the Lord. I lived in a family that valued discipline. I was an angel at home, but I was a bit of a devil at school. Before I started attending school, I would often travel with my father. And on his sales trip, he was a traveling salesperson. When I grew up and was old enough to sweep, rake, I spent every Saturday and Sunday with my parents, working in the garden, learned to use tools, learned to repair things around the home. I worked on Saturday and Sunday with my parents doing the work that they wanted me to do. I also learned the skills that were required to do all these things, as well as stay out of trouble, at least in front of my parents. Sure, I wanted to run off and play with my friends. For you young people, the most enjoyable thing to do was to go to the record store and buy 45s, the little vinyl 45s, $1 a piece. We would go and buy the Beatles or things like that. That was a fun time. But for the most time, I stayed with my parents around the house and helped them. When I entered middle school, I learned about sin. I became really good at it. At home, I was an angel. At school, I was really knew how to practice sin. But by God's grace, my parents never learned what I was doing. They might have killed me if they had known. At home, I was still doing okay. In many ways, my life was going in a really bad direction. But because I had this relationship with my parents, I had this relationship at home, I had learned obedience by being together with my parents, my life never fell apart completely. And then at 16, I became a Christian. I gave my life to Christ. Unlike the people sitting here, I was not in church before the age of 16. But then when I became Christian, God began to unfold in my life his purposes and his plans. The first thing I stopped doing was all the bad things that I was doing before. And I began to do the things that God wanted me to do according to his word. I also learned to be an obedient Christian. At home, I learned obedience. At school, apart from Christ, I learned to be a sinful expert. When I became a Christian, God began to put together in my life both obedience to my parents, but also obedience to him. And as I have traveled on in my life, now I'm 63 years old, God has continually showed me how the things I learned at home helped me do the things that I did as an adult. I never could have owned a company in Thailand if I had not learned how to use my hands, how to use tools, how to work with my hands, and how to repair things and do things like that if I had not learned that from my parents. We belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. You don't, at this point of your life, you don't understand all that God has prepared for you. That's why he gave you parents. So therefore, embrace obedience at home. Don't push your parents away. If you receive instruction, if you receive discipline from your parents, accept it, knowing that we as children belong to the Lord. He has purposes and plans for our lives that will bring great blessing to us. And that's why it says in the commandment, obey your parents so that you will live a long and happy life in the land. And finally, we come to work relationships. The context was slaves and slave owners in the Roman Empire. And they were, as it were, enemies, or at least not together, but then they find themselves sitting next to each other in church. Now, that's a weird thing, to come to accept Christ, become a follower of Christ, and then find yourself greeting, shaking hands with the slave owner at the front door, or asking permission to go to church. He said, oh yes, I go to church also. Come with me. So now they're forming a church where we have both slaves and slave owners. But we don't have that today. We all agree it's wrong, and we build our church not upon slaves, but upon freedom and free people. So therefore, we talk about employers and employees. If you're an employer or a manager, let me ask you this question. If your employees came to church and they saw you sitting here, would they be surprised to see you? If you're an employee, let me ask you this question. If your boss, your manager came to church and they saw you sitting in the pew, would they be surprised to see you? For owners and managers, we belong to the Lord. I'm an owner of a company. I have 17 employees. I know what it's like to be frustrated, to ask for more production, to ask for more commitment to the work. I know what it's like. But we belong to the Lord. And guess what? Even those who do not know the Lord also belong to the Lord. As the pastor said, we're a laboratory where people can see how our faith and how our relationship with God works itself out in the real world. How we manage people, how we compensate them, how we hire and how we terminate people who are under our management or our employees speaks a world about our relationship with Jesus Christ. We as managers, we as owners, should have a life that reflects, like we studied last week, reflects the reality of Jesus Christ in our lives. It doesn't mean that we don't expect productivity. It doesn't mean that we don't expect our employees to perform well, perform at a high level. It doesn't expect them to be on time, stop using their phones at work. All these things are realities of working in the workplace today. But how we talk to them, how we treat them, how we compensate them, and even if it requires that we terminate them, how we terminate them says everything about our lives. Employees, work as unto the Lord. Be a blessing to your employer. I tell my employees all the time, I tell my daughters who are working, pray for your company. Be a blessing to your company. Work hard so that they may also be successful. As a Christian employee, pray often for your company. We see people from GES. We have lots of people from GES who are working there. I hope you're praying for GES. I went there, Solomon. My daughters, we considered going there 20 years ago. Yesterday I went there again after 20 years. I couldn't believe the blessing that's been upon your school. God bless you. And I trust that you will continue to grow and be blessed in that as well. But as an employee, work unto the Lord. Be a blessing to your employer. Put in a full day's labor for a full day's pay. Do not steal. Do not cheat. Do not be lazy. For both you and your employer must answer to God. This will bring the fruits of blessing into your life because God is our provider, both as an employee and as an employer. It is God who supplies all our needs. And as we plan ahead for CCC, as the leadership and the church council begin to think about it, may we all consider how we can continue to support marriages, husbands and wives, so that they have both the time and the teaching to be able to manage their relationships in a successful way, fulfilling way. May we work as a church to support children so they may learn obedience not only at home, but when they come to church. We should promote and practice and request that children learn to obey people in authority, Sunday school, not running around, not causing a great amount of problem, learn to behave well in all situations. May we also support the work of employers and employees so they may honor the Lord in everything that they do. May we be the local body of Christ that people look to and say, this is the kind of place where I want to go to church because I see the truth of the gospel acted out in this place. And finally, there is a mystery in all of this. God wants the people of God to mirror how Jesus Christ loves the church. In Acts it says, Jesus went about doing good, healing the sick, and setting free people who are oppressed by the devil. Went around doing good. We are people of faith. We love to talk about God's word. We love to share God's word with other people, but we also need to love to demonstrate God's word and how it works in our life in this world. Let us mirror how Jesus Christ loves the church. And let this church be a mirror to the world about how people act out their faith. In submission, in love, authority, respect, obedience, and charity. In marriage, in family, and at work. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us everything we need to have successful, fulfilling, productive, blessed relationships in marriage, in rearing children, and also as employers and employees. Thank you that you have not left us hopeless, but you have filled our lives with the hope of the gospel, that you and your word work. They work in our lives because you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. So help us through your word, through the teaching of your word, through the body of Christ, to live out the reality of what it means. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Children, you belong to the Lord, obey your parents. And employers and employees, work, serve as unto the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.